Well, I was in my last semester of college across the street. It was 45 years ago. Hard to imagine looking at me, huh? And I got to take a course at the Divinity School. Now, I was an undergraduate, and we didn't ordinarily take courses at the Divinity School, but I had the opportunity to take one from a man named Dr. John Killinger. Dr. Killinger had traveled to Paris the year before and had written a book on theater of the absurd, and because I was a theater student, and because I was the only undergraduate in the class, I was kind of a favored child, I have to admit. And I kind of enjoyed that status. In any case, it was a fairly small seminar class, and one day we were waiting for it to begin. One of the Divinity School students came in, slammed his books down on the table, and said to all the students who were gathered there, "I wish that one day we could just line all the professors on one side of Benton Chapel and all the students on the other side of Benton Chapel, and we could shout the names of German theologians at each other until we could sit down and talk like human beings." You think he was frustrated with seminary? I think maybe so. The sad truth is we often don't talk to each other like human beings, do we? We talk from our particular specialty, whether that's theology or medicine or law or education, or we talk from our particular political ideology or our particular party, and we don't just talk like human beings and listen like human beings. I think that's part of the frustration, not just for that individual, but for all of us as well. Because we want to hear from others, and we want to share our stories with others like people, just people, to tell the truth of our lives and to have that truth heard, and to have others tell the truth of their lives, and for us to be able to hear that. You see, that's what happened on that first Pentecost. Now, you need to remember, all the folks in that story are Jewish. All of Jesus' followers who are gathered in that room are Jewish. All those people from all those different countries are Jewish, and they are all there because before Pentecost was a Christian holiday, it was a Jewish holiday. It was called Shavuos or Shavuot. And it was one of the pilgrim celebrations, one of the pilgrim holidays. So if you could, you were supposed to come to Jerusalem. So one reason why so many people were there from so many different countries is that they were pilgrims to this celebration. When the Holy Spirit began to move through the followers of Jesus, however, all of those language barriers dissolved. They could hear the good news of how God had come as a human being in Jesus Christ, in order to share the fullness of God's love in a way that they could understand it. It didn't matter where they came from, didn't matter what their background was, didn't matter what their original language was. They were able to hear that good news. Because you see, while in John, Jesus simply comes in and breathes on his disciples and they receive the Holy Spirit, in Acts, Luke has a different idea. When the Holy Spirit comes, it's not just for the in crowd. It's not just for those immediate followers of Jesus. No, there's a job assignment that goes with it. And that job assignment is to take that sense of God's Holy Spirit and love and spread it as far out as possible. And the past few weeks, we've been hearing about how after this initial incoming of the Spirit, there was an outgoing of the Spirit that went far beyond the Jewish tradition that included Cornelius and Lydia and other Gentiles, and otherwise we wouldn't be sitting here today. Thank God for that. But as we receive the Holy Spirit, we have an assignment too. These young people who are about to be confirmed are all here because they have heard the message of God's love for them. You have heard the message of God's love for you in a way that you could understand it through confirmation classes, through Sunday school, through growing up in families that help to nurture you along the way. That's why you're here. But you see, we have a job description that goes with that. I'll share it with you, but I'll share it with everybody. You can boil it down to three commandments, right? The rabbis say there were 613 commandments in the Torah. We all know the top 10. Jesus boiled it down to three. Love God, number one. He took that from the 613. Love your neighbor as yourself, which means you have to know yourself as a child of God before you can treat your neighbor as a child of God. He took that one from the 613 as well. But then he added one that you won't find in the 613 commandments, and that is, love one another as I have loved you. And we know from the stories of the Gospels that Jesus loved us so much that he was willing to give himself over to the power of the most powerful empire that had ever been known in the world to that time. And he was willing to submit himself to the most cruel death that they could imagine and come up with in order to show us how much God loves us. And so our job description is to love one another as we have been loved. That spirit that moves through us is to move outward. And we do that, I think, by simply telling each other our stories and hearing the stories of others. This past week, our general conference has been meeting. And you may be watching it avidly. You may not even be aware that it's meeting. They're making decisions for the next 4 years for the entire United Methodist Church. You haven't heard as much about it as you will next week because they've been in committee meetings this week. When they're in plenary sessions, that's when it hits the news. But there was one decision that was made that I grieve. It's a decision that sounds very arcane. They failed to pass Rule 44. What is Rule 44? Well, you need to know that at our general conference, we are structured around Robert's Rules of Order, which is basically a political system for making decisions where the majority wins and those who may not, even if it's a majority of one, and everyone else loses. Rule 44 was intended by the general conference that was held 4 years ago to provide a time when people could simply sit down and tell each other their stories, talk around tables, say what their experience had been, get to know each other as human beings. In other words, as that divinity school student said so many years ago, to sit down and talk like human beings, not representatives of any ideology, not representatives of any particular perspective, but just people with stories. Sadly enough, General Conference failed to include that for this year. It was voted down. It makes me very sad that not only can we not admit that we disagree on things, which proves that we disagree on things, but we can't even agree to sit down and talk about it. Because you see, that's how we share our faith, is by telling our stories, not by hitting people over the head, simply sharing our stories. I think that's how the Holy Spirit continues to work through us. Just a few minutes ago, you heard me say a prayer over Aubrey Reynolds, and you're going to hear us say that same prayer over all of the folks who come for baptism or confirmation a little bit later in the service. That prayer goes like this. You hear it a lot here. We're fortunate. We have a lot of baptisms. The Holy Spirit work within you, that being born by water and the Spirit, you may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. Now, I always add to that, all your days. Because I don't want anybody going away from here thinking, be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ today or just on Sundays. No, every day of your life. That's what we're called to do. Love God and our neighbor as ourselves, and to love others as Christ has loved us. That's our job description every morning when we wake up. At some point or other, you heard that message, and the Holy Spirit continues to work through you. And the idea is that we are able to tell our stories in part because we have a story to tell. We know that God loves us because a parent has loved us, or a grandparent has loved us, or a congregation has loved us. And we have seen in that person the love of God shining through. We couldn't know how to love were it not that someone loved us first. And of course, that first love came from God. Always did, always does, always will. In addition to being that power of witness, of telling our story and hearing the stories of others, that transformative power that helped the church to expand and grow and to welcome people who were unwelcomed elsewhere. The Holy Spirit is also described as a comforter. When you are frustrated, or when you are down, when you are sad, when you're hurt, when you're alone, when you're afraid, the Holy Spirit is there to comfort you. When you have been rejected by the church, or told you were unwelcome, unwanted, an abomination, the Holy Spirit is there to comfort you. One of the images that best speaks to that for me is an image that comes from a book that was published several years ago. You may have read the book or seen the film made from it called The Help. The Holy Spirit in that book, at least in my understanding, is an African-American maid named Aveline. She takes care of a little girl who is not really very much appreciated in her own family because she's not as pretty as her family would like for her to be. She does not have the potential to grow up to be that Southern belle that her family wants her to grow up to be. But when Aveline rocks her, holds her in her lap and rocks her, she tells her, "You is kind, you is smart, you is important." It's what the Holy Spirit does for us. When everyone else says, "You're outside, we don't want you here," when everyone else says, "You're not good enough," when the culture says, "You don't fit our mold," the Holy Spirit comes and tells us, "You are indeed kind, you are indeed smart, you are indeed important, because you are a child of God." That's what they heard on that first Pentecost. And they heard it in the language that they could understand it. So if you take nothing else away from this confirmation, and I hope you take a great deal away from it, I hope you'll remember that every day your job description is to love God and love your neighbor as yourself, and to love one another and all people as Christ has loved us. And that at heart, it doesn't matter what anybody else says about you, because the Holy Spirit of God has already said to you, "You are kind, you are smart, you are important, you are my beloved child." Guess what? The Holy Spirit says that to you as well. Now may the Holy Spirit work within you, that all of you, being born by water and the Spirit, may you all be faithful disciples of Jesus Christ this day and every day to come. Amen.